Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said, here I go quoting Jesus already, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a wonderful promise. Aren't you glad you're saved and saved forever? How many of you believe you're saved forever? Well, that's most of it. The rest of it, we'll see you on the other side somewhere. We'll be looking for you if you don't know that you're saved. Just kidding, folks. Just kidding. I felt like you needed a laugh. Most of you looked like you haven't laughed in a month. Let's wake up and get with it, folks. What do you say? Hello? Well, may the Lord bless you anyhow. Well, it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. Good thing to be in Sunday school. I've always loved Sunday school. I was taken to Sunday school the first time when I was 3 weeks old. That's been almost 5,000 weeks. So now you can figure that up for yourself. But it's good to get into the Word of God. And you know, people need to be taught the Word of God. There's nothing like studying the Word of God. Not only in Sunday school, but in your private life. Take time to be holy. Take time to read God's Word, to meditate in God's Word, to memorize God's Word, to let God's Word master your thinking. There's nothing like getting food from the spiritual pantry that we call the Word of God. And by the way, if you've read it up, start reading it down. What do you say? I heard a preacher say one time, well, I preached the Bible up. And I thought, well, why don't you preach it down? Most of us need it more than we're getting unless we're in church every Sunday and every Wednesday night. And I realize there are times that you can't. Speaking for my wife and me, we cannot get out like on Sunday night or Wednesday night temporarily. We'll soon be getting back into that. Dr. Lee Robinson used to say it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And that's kind of the way he said it. So you can take it for what it's worth. Well, by the way, you know what happens when we open the Bible, don't you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to zero in on just one verse. That'll be verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And I shall read it after we pray. Father, we are grateful for your kindness and goodness and mercy and love, your compassion, your patience with us. We ask that you would look upon us today as we are, needy and unworthy and undeserving of the least of thy favors. We want to ask you for those in our church family. I pray that you would bless those that are ill in the hospital. You've heard about some of them, Kathy Simmons and Mrs. Kinson beginning her treatments. Her sister, Mrs. Davis, who went to be with the Lord on Friday. And our dear brother Mike Patterson, I pray that you would bless his family today and each or one of these families. Comfort them as only you can. Strengthen them by your grace. Wrap your loving arms about them and bring healing and deliverance of grief and sorrow and sadness. We know that all things work together for good to them that love thee, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. And we know what thy purpose is. Thy purpose is to conform us to the likeness and person of Jesus Christ. We believe that everything that comes into our lives comes for that purpose, to conform us to Jesus, more of his likeness every day. May it be so. Now bless the reading of this one verse that says so much, and the teaching of thy word, that we could be blessed, encouraged, enlightened, and instructed from the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Peter is writing this book to comfort believers. And verse 7 of chapter 5 in this book of 1 Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's personal, folks. That's to you. That's to me. That's to every born-again believer. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Much is being said in these days about health care provision. If you've been looking at your television any at all, you've seen that about every other commercial for the last 6 weeks has been on, what are you missing from your Medicare program? Do you have A? Do you have B? Do you have C? That's, I think, the main one. Do you have D and E? And I think there's an F coming up. But we're concerned about health, and we're concerned about what's happened in our lives. And as we think about coming to the end of a year, certainly we want to stop and count our blessings. And then we want to plan prayerfully for the future. Only God knows what the future holds. We have our plans and our programs, projects for the new year, but those days may not come. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what it may bring. We never know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know who is in tomorrow, who has our tomorrow, who is our tomorrow. He's not only in our tomorrow, but he is our tomorrow. So as we prepare for the future, we should keep in mind that God knows, he cares, he understands everything about us. You remember what Job said in his 23rd chapter at verse number 10? He knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. When he has tried me. Ladies and gentlemen, life is not free from trials. We all have them. And that's God's way of bringing us more into his will. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, God knows all of our heartaches, all of our headaches, all of our hurts, all of our hindrances. He knows all of our problems. Is anyone here today who could say, I'm free of all problems? If you're here, you are a problem. If you can say, I have no problem, you are a problem. God knows all of our problems. He knows all of our pressures, all of our perplexities. He knows all of our disappointments, our disillusionments, our discouragements, our discomforts, our doubts, our defeats, our diseases. He knows all of our trials, our troubles, our tribulations, and our temptations. Someone once said, did it ever occur to you that it never occurred to him? God knows everything, ladies and gentlemen. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. Please don't miss this. Think on this. God is never startled. He is never shocked. He's never stunned. He's never surprised. God did not wake up this morning and say, uh-oh, it's Sunday. I better go down to Fort Worth, Texas and see what's happening at Worth Baptist Church in the auditorium class. No, no, no. God did not wake up this morning. And the reason that he did not wake up this morning is because he did not go to sleep last night. Aren't you glad? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and forever. You know, God has a timetable, and he's not going to set his clock. And I say that in quotes. He doesn't have a clock, I don't think. But he's not going to set his time schedule in keeping with ours. He's not going to alter his robe of righteousness to fit us. He's going to alter us to fit into his robe of righteousness. We serve a wonderful God, ladies and gentlemen. I fear that oftentimes we sell God too short. Don't ever forget that he's the God of the universe. And we know that we celebrate at Christmas the time that the God of the universe became man, took upon him the flesh, without sin, of course. And he knows how we feel. That's why we can say God knows and cares all of our problems, all of our burdens. He knows who you are. Did you know that God knows your name? He knows where you are. He knows what concerns you. And I promise you that everything and anything that bothers you bothers him. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews, and I believe that to be the Apostle Paul, if you want to argue with me about it, I'll send you to the pastor and let him tell you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, watch this now, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Perfect. God through Christ is perfect. Let us therefore come timidly. No, no. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? I've entitled this lesson, God's Care for His Own. Listen again to the words of the text, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let me begin the lesson by saying He knows our names. Isn't it amazing that He has written our names in the palm of His hands? Isaiah 46 tells us that. He knows, he cares. Listen to what Jesus said. I love to quote Jesus, you know that. John 10 and verse 3, Jesus said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Please don't miss this. And he calleth his own sheep by name. You say, without other people in this world that have my name or your name, say, I know There's several people of the name Raymond Barber. In fact, I got a call the other day about one. I had a man come to see me about a man named Raymond Barber. He thought I was the man. I'm glad I wasn't the man after he told me the story. But I'm saying all that to say this. God knows you individually and personally. He has your DNA. It's different from anybody else that may be named Frank Spann or Raymond Barber or whatever. God knows our names. Listen to him. He says, "He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Psalm 147 is in verse 4 is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. You talk about the omniscience of God. Listen to this. "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names." Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine God knows the name of every one of the 8 billion people that are on this globe? Just think about that for a moment. 8 billion people, and God knows the name of every one of them. Not only that, and this is far more amazing, he knows the name of every star. Isn't that amazing? Every star. How many stars are there? Who knows? They tell us now there are over 100 billion galaxies. And we are in a cluster of galaxies. Our galaxy, as you know, is the Milky Way. Could have been the Hershey bar, but God decided to call it the Milky Way. And they say there are 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. And there are more than 150 billion galaxies. And each one of them, they say, has at least 100 billion stars. Now you figure all, get your machine out, calculate and figure all that out. But God knows the name of every star. We look out and we see a sky, it looks like it's just full of stars on a clear night, and we'll begin to count. We don't get very far, but God knows the name of every one of them. And listen, if God knows the name of all the trillions of stars, don't you know he knows your name? By the way, the latest scientific journals tell us that there are enough stars in our universal system for all of the 8 billion people to have 2 trillion stars apiece. Wow, I'm going to pick mine up one of these days and try to put somebody's name on it and charge them a little bit for it. 2 trillion stars apiece. Trillion. Blows my mind. And if it doesn't blow your mind, you don't have one. That's amazing. He knows our name. I see in the second place, he numbers the hairs of our head. Uh-oh. As fast as some of us are losing ours, he has to have a good calculator. He knows the number of hairs. Listen to what the Bible says about it. And by the way some of us are losing ours, wow, he must have a fast clicking calculator. Matthew 10 and verse 30, Jesus said this, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." By the way, he knows what color it is. Don't miss this. He knows what color it used to be. Hello. God knows how many hairs. You looked in the sink after you got through washing your head, combing your hair today. God went, hit the minus. He wiped them all out. They're gone. I see in the third place. He hears all we say. Did you get that? He hears all that we say and writes it down, all the thoughts. He writes down all the thoughts of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, you know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He knows every thought. He knows every idea. Dividing asunder soul and spirit. And then Malachi 3:16. Most of you know by now that there are more verses in chapter 3 than verse 10. You know verse 10? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, Malachi 3:16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And watch this. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon him. He writes them down in a book, ladies and gentlemen. God hearkens, he hears, he knows, he writes it all down. And we think that nobody else has heard it. Nobody else knows what we've thought about. But God. But God. All those unkind thoughts that you thought nobody knew about it. Or God knows about it. All those malicious words. Hateful words, unkind words. Nobody else may have heard them. Maybe not even the person to whom you were directing them. But God hears it all. I see in the fourth place, he bottles up our tears and keeps a record of them in his book of remembrance. Psalm 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God has so arranged that when we weep, that has a wonderful effect on our heart and soul. Even in the time of grief, tears of grief, are they not in thy book? Tears are the magnifying glass through which we see our problems more clearly. Don't be ashamed to weep. Remember what the Bible says, that Jesus, standing by the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. Wept. He was boiling over with grief and sorrow because Lazarus was dead. But I'm glad Jesus gave a promise to his sister. And she said, will my brother live again? Oh, yes, Jesus said, in the day of the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. That's just one of the I ams. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We have eternal life. I remember when I was in seminary 70 years ago plus now. In one of Dr. Norris's famous sermons, and nobody could deliver them like he could. He said, one of these days, you will read in the papers that Frank Norris is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. It will not be true. I will be more alive than ever before. And that's the way it is. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Don't be ashamed of tears. They will release some sorrow and grief and heartache, pressures in your life. I see in the fifth place, he holds our hand in his hand. Isaiah 41 and verse 13. This is God speaking. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. There's always something for us to look to God to, depend on Him for. And He's telling us plainly, I will hold thy right hand, saying, Fear not, I will help thee. I've never counted them, but I've read sources that say that there are at least 365 times in the Bible these two words or their equivalent appear. Fear not. So if there are 365 fear nots, or don't be afraid, or fret not, whatever, all those 300, that means there's one for every day. Have you claimed your fear not for today? You say, well, I don't have anything to fear. Well, you probably will before the day's up. So be ready. Fear not. Then I see in the sixth place, He supplies all our needs. I love Philippians 4:19. But my God, my God. We're not depending on which way the economy is going to flow. It can go up tomorrow and down the next day, a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. But thank God our security is not dependent upon what the Dow Jones does or how much money is in the Federal Reserve. No, no, no. But my God, my God, my God shall supply all your need according to how much money you have in the bank. No, no, no. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. By the way, the only need that God cannot supply is the need that you do not have. All your need. What is your need today? Instead of sitting around fretting about it or wondering or worrying, just take God at His word. He said, but my God, that's your God, and my God, Paul said, shall supply all your need. Not according to how many resources you have, but according to His riches through Christ Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't stop with the cessation of life on this earth. It goes right on into heaven. Heaven, you know, is, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. A place, not a state of mind, but a place. Heaven is just as real a city as Fort Worth is a city, minus all of the evil that's in Fort Worth. It's a city. I'll never forget many years ago when Dr. John R. Rice was rather a young preacher. One of his books he published early on in his ministry, he talked about heaven. But when the proof copy came for him to proofread, he noticed that they spelled the word heaven beginning with a small H. So he gets on the phone to the publisher. No, 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 he said. In my book, you will not spell heaven with a small H. You wouldn't think about starting Dallas with a small D. Or Chicago with a small C. So if you publish my book, you're going to start heaven with a capital H. Heaven, ladies and gentlemen, is a prepared place for prepared people. And it's prepared by Jesus. Take His word for it. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, or inasmuch as I do go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, in closing this lesson, I want to give you my personal assessment of some of the things about heaven. Now, this isn't all, and it may not include any of it, but I think most of it will be there, heaven. We will live in mansions and never have to pay rent. That's good, isn't it? My daddy used to say, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. For up there, there are no taxes, and the rent will never come due. We'll live in mansions, never pay any rent. We will walk on streets of gold and never pay any taxes. We will play on golden harps and never take a music lesson. I've heard some that sounded like they never did take one. We will drink from the river of life and never fear contamination. We will eat from the tree of life and never fear pollution. We will live forever and never face retirement, disease, or death. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And God loves us, cares for us, sent Jesus to die for us. What's Christmas all about anyway? He has sent Jesus. Listen, God, listen to this. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What an awesome God we serve. We have a lot to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for your loving care, your tender mercy. We thank thee for sending Jesus to die for us, to save us, to redeem us, to pardon us, to give us a new life and give us hope for heaven and happiness and contentment throughout all the ages to come. World without end. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving, amen. Keep looking up, folks. Jesus is coming.